welcome as our preacher this morning, the Reverend Laurie Power. The evening service is at 7 p.m., preceded by a time of prayer from 6:30, and the Reverend Power will give his testimony at that meeting. The children's meeting is tomorrow, Monday night, at 7 p.m., and on Wednesday, the Bible study and prayer meeting at the usual time of 8 p.m., and the speaker will be Mr. Ivan Morrison. On Friday, the youth fellowship is here in the church at 8 p.m. There are two ordination services this week in London. On Thursday, Mr. Philip Knowles will be ordained and installed, and that is online at 7 p.m. And on Friday, Mr. Simon Anderson will be ordained and installed in Auchnacloy. And as that is an invite-only meeting, it will also be online at 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, there is no Sunday school, but the services at the usual times of 11:30 and 7, and the preacher will be the Reverend Timothy Ormerod, and he's taking as a subject the Northern Ireland Centenary.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother, for those announcements. We commence our worship together as we sing the hymn 145. The hymn 145. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory. Now, 145 on page 235. Let us stand together to worship. Let us each one unite our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O our God and our Heavenly Father, we would still our hearts and our minds before thee in prayer this day. We do give thee thanks, our Heavenly Father, with that precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is our Saviour, Christ Jesus the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we lift up our hearts in prayer. We do give thee thanks, O God, for thy wonderful plan and scheme of salvation. We thank thee for ever sending him, thy blessed Son, thine only begotten Son, down into this world to live and to die for us, sinners condemned, unclean. O God, we praise thee for his birth, for his spotless life and purity. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the finished work of the cross and the shedding of his precious blood, that blood of atonement, that precious blood that cleanses from every sin, from every stain. O God, we thank thee for it. And as we're bowed before thee in prayer, we would ask of thee, Lord, O come and cleanse us anew and afresh thy precious atoning blood. Make us clean and pure, Lord, as we worship before thee, Lord, this day, from every fault, from every spot and sin. Cleanse us, Lord, and purge us, we ask of thee. For thou art holy, thou art high and lifted up. O God, we would look away from ourselves, from all others, when we would look to our God and we would look to our Saviour. We thank thee, Lord, for thy Holy Spirit given to us, that Spirit, Lord, that dwells within us. And we would pray, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, that from day to day we would know that double portion of the Spirit of God resting upon us, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of power. Lord, we praise thee and thank thee for that promise given by our Saviour, that if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And O our gracious God, help us, we pray. We would ask our Heavenly Father, Lord, for that fresh anointing and for that double portion in these dry days in which we live. Days of deadness, we pray, our blessed Father, you'll send a mighty quickening among us, and times of refreshing and revival, how we need it. O gracious God, have mercy upon us, Lord, we ask of thee. Bless the preaching of the word of the Lord today. As it goes forth, our gracious God, we pray that souls may be converted, brought to faith in Christ. We pray for a mighty move, Lord. O God, among those that, Lord, perhaps today have very little interest, but Lord, we praise thee that suddenly the Spirit of God can grant a conviction and grant a convicting. And we pray, our blessed Father, today, O God, that many a soul may be set free. Set free, O God, from the enemy, prince of the power of the air, brought into the kingdom of God and wonderfully saved. We think of loved ones and family who are not yet converted, and we pray for them today, Lord. We can each one, O God, think at this particular time of those that are still out of Christ, and we pray earnestly for their conversion and salvation. I am for grandchildren as well, that all may be saved, brought into the family and the fold of God, brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, granted, we pray, granted, Lord, we earnestly ask of thee in prayer. Oh, God, as we think of them, Lord, for thy mercy and thy blessing to rest upon them, that they will put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, granted, bless your people here, Father, Lord, in this congregation, and in this area, undertake for them, Lord, O God, in their witness for the gospel and for Christ, and all that they're seeking to do, O God, undertake and encourage each one. Bless your servant, Reverend Omrod, Lord, as he ministers the word of the Lord in this house. May he know the power of God the Spirit of God resting upon him, Lord, as he ministers from this pulpit. Undertake for him, our gracious Father, we pray, and may thy good hand be upon him for good. We will think of those that bear the rule over us today, our Heavenly Father, and we pray earnestly for their salvation, that the quickening power of God would come upon them, that they might be turned away from darkness, brought into the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Undertake our Heavenly Father, we do pray. Lord, abide with us today. Keep thy hand upon us. May we be very much aware, may we be conscious today that God is here, that the Lord is in our midst. Well, thank thee for that promise that even where two or three are gathered in thy name, thou hast promised to be in the midst of them. Lord, how wonderful to contemplate this. God in the midst of us. The Almighty and the Eternal God coming down, coming into the midst of his people. Fellowship with us, Lord, we pray. Speak to each and every one, Lord. If there be one cast down today, troubled, worried, Lord, we pray that there be a word in season for them to help them, to build them up in their most holy faith, to bless them and to meet with them. O God, undertake, Lord, we ask. Remember those that can't be with us today. Lay it aside, Lord, with sickness, O God. And we pray for them, and we pray our Father today that you'll minister to them and meet with them. And Lord, may they be encouraged and blessed in the word. Undertake, Lord, we do pray. May thy name be glorified and honored and uplifted in our midst. O God, we realize more and more, Lord, in of ourselves we're nothing. We have no merit, we have nothing to claim. He must increase, we must decrease. Undertake, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let us read a portion of Scripture today from the first epistle of John. The first epistle of John. First John chapter 2. And we'll commence our reading at the verse 12. 1 John and the chapter 2 and the verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. We'll end our reading there at the verse 23, and we trust that God will bless that reading from his own precious word to each and every one of us. Let us turn again now in our hymn books, and we'll sing the hymn 545. The hymn 545, marching on in the light of God, marching on and marching on, up the path that the Master trod, marching, marching on. 545. Let us stand as we sing now.
Thank you.
Amen. Good to see everyone today in the service. Thank our brother for his kind words of welcome. And good to hear everyone singing out so well. And looking forward to being here with you tonight. And hope to share in a word of testimony. Tell of the Lord's goodness and his saving grace and mercy in my life. And I thank God for that today. Let us bow in a word of prayer as we turn to the word today. Let us pray. O our God and Father, we do rejoice in the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. That wonderful victory that has been won for us by our Saviour. He has conquered and overcome. He has overcome the enemy. He has overcome death. O God, we praise thee. We can sing of victory over the tomb. For he died and rose again from the dead. Praise the Lord. O Lord, we thank thee for our inheritance in Christ. For the riches of his grace. For what the Lord has done for us. He has clothed us with a robe of white, his righteousness. God, we thank thee. And our earnest prayer, Lord, would be this day for any perhaps in the service who are not yet saved or converted, that they may be saved in the meeting, that they will, Lord, lift up their hearts and call upon the Lord for mercy. Some perhaps listening in online, bless them and save those that are not saved. Oh God, may they be stirred up. May there be an urgency. Oh gracious Father, we ask, may they not delay, but look to him who is able to save them to the uttermost and grant them life eternal. Bless thy word to us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us turn now to this portion of scripture here that we read in the first epistle of John in the chapter 2. And the verse that we want to think of in particular is the verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now John wrote this letter, this epistle, here to God's people, to Christian people, perhaps toward the end of the first century. We might ask, why did he write this letter to them? After all, they're God's people, professing salvation. And undoubtedly, they have a desire for to go through with God, to go on with the Lord. Why this epistle? And there's so many warnings that are given in it to the people of the Lord. Well, of course, John was one that cared greatly for God's people. He is known as the Apostle of Love. He's a true shepherd of the sheep. And he is concerned for them. He wants them to proceed and to advance in the faith and to go, as it were, as we often say, from strength to strength. But he doesn't want them to be deceived in any matter, in any shape or form. He believed, of course, as we all believe today, as every child of God believes, that there are two great forces at work in this world of ours. Something we always have to keep in mind. Two great forces, they are operating. And they're in opposition one to the other, and always will be. For example, if we look here in the first chapter, in the chapter 1 and the verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Then he says in verse 2, for the life was manifested. We have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So first and foremost, he sets out here God, the Almighty God, the one who is manifest, the Lord Jesus, the one who is manifested in the flesh and came among us and suffered and died for our sins. The work of God, that's the first thing. But of course, he also reminds God's people here as well that there is a devil at work also. Now, we know that so many people today will laugh at the very thought of this. A devil? They say, do you still believe in such a being and such a one as the devil? We're so educated today, and we're so advanced in this world and in this generation, and advanced in every field, in science, in learning, in so many things. How can it be that there is still people believing in a devil? But we know from reading the Word of God, our New Testament, that this enemy is set out before us. This deceiver, this one who opposes the Almighty God, always opposing God, and of course opposing the people of the Lord, seeking to bring us down, to undermine us in the Christian faith, seeking to lead us into sin and into confusion. You see here he writes, here in this chapter, this portion that we read in the verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one through the gospel and by faith, through faith in Christ. They have experienced this victory. This victory has been given to them, and they have overcome the wicked one. They have overcome the wicked one. And again, it's mentioned there in the verse 14, where he says there, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So there we have the two great forces here set out for us in the word of God. Not only here in 1 John, but in the Gospels and in all the epistles, we are confronted with this great truth and how we need to keep it very much in mind. There's another very important thing to remember here as well, brethren, as we have read that verse 1 here in 1 John, that which ye have heard from the beginning, which our eyes have looked upon, and so on. And because, of course, the devil was at work here among the people of the Lord. There were those that brought in false doctrines concerning Christ, that he didn't really have a physical real body at all. It was just a kind of an imaginary thing, a phantom body, as it were, but not a real body. And so they sought to deceive the people of the Lord. But the word reminds us, of course, that his body was a real body. When he hung upon that cross on Calvary, he suffered, he bled, and he died. And he was God, as we read here in the verse 2, he was God manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto you. And John says we have looked upon him. It's not wonderful. He puts the whole matter beyond a shadow of a doubt. We looked upon the Son of God. We had fellowship with him, and we handled him. There's no doubt about this matter. But here were these false teachers seeking to undermine the people of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was not real at all. And so, of course, if he did not possess a real body, then his death had no significance at all. He didn't really suffer in the flesh. In fact, some of them went so far as to say that, well, he forsook this phantom body before he died upon the cross, bringing the whole work of atonement to nothing, bringing the work of salvation to nothing. So you see, the enemy there was very much at work. He speaks here, of course, to God's people as well, those at different stages perhaps in their Christian life, here to fathers, because you have known him that is true from the beginning, and to young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. But we want to look today here at the different tests that John has set out before the people of God. There's this solid foundation of Christ manifested in the flesh. And brethren, doctrine always comes first. That's the foundation that we have. The solid teaching and the solid doctrine of the Word of God. This is where we must stand. Yes, it is true to say that God does give to his people feelings. We're not without feeling and emotion and everything else. But our feelings can let us down. And when our feelings fail, we always, as it were, come to stand upon this solid rock. What Christ has done for us. You may wake up one morning, and I'm sure we've all experienced this, and you feel in great form. You can't wait to have your quiet time. You open the scriptures. You have your Bible reading. You have a time of fellowship and prayer. And you have a wonderful day. And everything seems to go so well for us. And you're feeling, as it were, on top of everything, on top of the world. But then the next day comes and you awaken. And you feel down. You feel disheartened. You feel worried, perhaps, or discouraged. You see how feelings can change? Yes, thank God for feelings. God does give to us the movings of the Spirit. But we're not to trust to our feelings. We trust to the solid foundation of the Word of God. So he's given them different tests here. Test of doctrine concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but this test of love. Love one for the other as well, as brethren. But here's the one that we want to think of today. This is the other test, whereby the people of God can look at these things and to be sure of where they stand. So this test here is before us concerning the world. What's our attitude? What are our thoughts toward this world in which we live? Let's read the verse again. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now there is a love that God hates. There's a love that God hates. And that is the love of this world. The love of this world. That is the test here. The test of love. There's a love that he delights in. That love that praises him. That devotion. That hunger. That thirst after God. A love in the heart for God and for the things of God. That's the love that the Spirit gives. And it is the love that is pleasing to him. Now, what does love mean? Here, as we have it in John and right throughout the scripture, it signifies, of course, affection. The affection of the heart. It speaks of devotion. Something that is deep. Something that really touches our inner man, as it were. Affection. Now, of course, this affection must be first and foremost, it is for the Lord and for God and the things of the Lord, not for the world. The world must not have the first place, dear Christian, in your heart or in mine. Yes, we're in the world. We're in the world, we have to live in it, and we're going through it. But first and foremost, our deep affection, the deepest, most innermost part of our being, is to be for God and for the things of God and that which is spiritual, not for the world. Now we have this laid out before us, of course, in so many different places in the scripture. If we turn, for example, in our Bibles now just for a moment to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and in the verse 37. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 10 and the verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What did the Lord Jesus Christ mean? Was he saying that we're not to have affection, our love in our hearts for family, the husband for the wife, the family, father and mother for the children, sons and daughters. Is that what the Lord is saying? No, he's not saying that at all. Of course we're to care for them, and we are to love them. But it's all about priority, isn't it? We are not to make an idol out of children. They are not to be first and foremost, the be-all and the end-all of everything. And you find that in our society today, that people go so far as to, what we to use an old word, as to dote upon their children. God is left out, you say. No affection for the Lord in the heart at all. But God must come first, even in the family household. And he says in the verse 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." We have it there in Philippians as well, if we turn over in our Bibles. There in Paul's epistle to the Philippians, we have it in Philippians chapter 3 and in the verse 20. He says, "For our conversation is in heaven, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ." You see that? What does he mean? Well, he means again that our thoughts, our innermost desires and longing, there is toward God and heaven and glory. Our conversation, our citizenship, he says, is in heaven. We're heading on toward heaven as we sung today. We're traveling toward glory, clothed in his righteousness divine. And we're looking forward to that. And so our desire is there. Our affections are there, first and foremost. Not in this world or anything in it. But then we also have to ask the question, don't we? John says, love not the world. What does he mean here by the world? What does he mean by the world? Now, of course, he's not speaking here about the material or the physical world that we're living in. Not speaking about that at all. Don't we all, at different times a year, perhaps the whole year round, don't we enjoy the scenery? You go on holidays, whether it be here to this country, to England, Scotland or Wales. And as you drive there, perhaps in the fine weather in the summer, and you're taking in the scenery, the mountains, the hills, the valleys, and everything else. And we enjoy it. And if you're like me, you're traveling there, you're driving and you're trying to take in all you can. And the next thing, the wife gives you a warning. Keep your eye on the road. Don't be looking around you. Keep your eyes on the road. You're so taken in with all that you see. That's the physical world. And of course, he doesn't mean that at all. We can enjoy all of these things. We can enjoy all of this thing, all of what God has created round about us. It doesn't mean either that a man in this world has to abandon his business. He doesn't say to himself, well, I'm going to glory. I'm going to meet with God. I'm going to be there for all eternity. And I think I'll just chuck in my business. No, it doesn't mean that either. We're to be diligent in business. A man is to work. There's nothing wrong with a man progressing and, as it were, going forward in that way. But again, this is not his main desire at all. This is not his main desire. His desire is toward heaven and toward glory. John means here the invisible world. That's what John is speaking about. He's speaking about the spiritual world. He's speaking here, men and women, about a system that is dominated by the devil. By the devil. John doesn't apologize for speaking and warning the people of God here against the enemy, that wicked one. He's reminding them there, as I've already said, here concerning these two great powers, the power of God, the almighty power of God, that's over the devil, of course. But he wants them to keep this in mind, that here's a real enemy. Here's a real enemy that will seek to undermine them, destroy them, and to bring them down. And of course, that's the work of the devil, isn't it? That's the work of the devil. He seeks to undermine the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit of God. He seeks to undermine the work of God and the people of God. Isn't he referred to as the cunning one? He's so cunning and so crafty. And this is something that is real. And we, of course, we tend to forget this. Now, I don't mean that we go around every day thinking about the devil. I don't mean that at all. Or contemplating the devil around this corner, around the other corner. But at the same time, we must always keep in mind that we're caught up in a real spiritual warfare. It's a warfare. It is something that is real. There is one who tempts us. There is one who will seek to, as it were, destroy our testimony and destroy the work of God also. And Peter spoke about him also, didn't he? Goes about like a roaring lion, he said, seeking whom he may devour. A prowling lion, going from place to place. Again, look at the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians and in the chapter 10 and in the verse 3. 2 Corinthians, the chapter 10 and the verse 3, he brings his warfare before us. And here's what he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Yes, he's walking in the flesh in his day, as we do every day. We walk in the flesh, our physical frame. We have to use our hands, our feet, our legs and everything else. We walk in the flesh. Oh, but he says, we do not war after the flesh. It's not a physical warfare here he's speaking about, with guns or with swords or shields or anything else. And he says here in the verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. Dear child of God, keep this in mind. God has given to you weapons, and they are mighty to the pulling down, the defeating, and the overcoming of this wicked one that is set against you, the weapon of prayer, the word of God, the promises. They're all given to us. So you see, it's an invisible warfare, as it were. We can't actually see it, but it's there. And them two great systems that are at work in this world of ours. And here he goes on to say, he says in the verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and the bringing into captivity of every thought unto the obedience of Christ. You see that? Even to the very matter of our thoughts. We wouldn't like our thoughts be put up on the wall or the screen today. The temptations and everything else that suddenly may come upon us. But the Apostle Paul reminds that in this warfare, by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the promises, we can cast them down. Don't have to grovel under them or give in to them. And when these thoughts strike us, we can say, get behind me, Satan. You shut the door, as it were. You slam the door upon the enemy. That's what we do. The weapons of our warfare, they're mighty. In this contest, in this war in which we're caught up in, and we look out upon our world and upon our society today as we see it, and see the awful state of affairs, and as I said a moment ago, yeah, well, people will just, they will mock you, they will laugh at you and say, there's a devil. Not realizing that all the time, they are under, the unconverted man is under the power of the enemy. And so he's living for the world, for the pub, the drugs, the sin, the sexuality and everything else, the immorality. He is under the power of this awful system and is in darkness and he is in blindness. And we see that everywhere today, abroad in our world. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. What a privilege to know the Lord. Oh, if you're not saved today, do you see your own state of affairs? Do you see the darkness? But oh, thank God, I often reminded of that hymn, "There is life for a look at the crucified one, and there's life at this moment for thee." In a moment, by the grace of God, you're brought out from the power of the enemy, under the power of the devil, brought into the glorious light of the gospel. People's minds are affected. Of course, they're in darkness. They're judgment. Everything. This opposition is real, and it is fierce. Now, if we want to think about the world today and the state that is in, John mentions it here again in 1 John chapter 5 and in the verse 19. What a statement this is. Now look at it in your Bibles. Here in 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 19, he says, "And we know that we are of God." We are of God, speaking to God's people. People that have been regenerated, saved by grace. They're under a new captain, as it were. They're under God. But look what he goes on to say, "And the whole world lieth in wickedness." You see that? The whole world lieth in wickedness. Not just some part here or some part there or somewhere else. They're under this wicked system. They're under this blindness and this awful darkness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. That's the state of our world today. Some people think, well, perhaps it's getting better. Things are going to improve. Once we get the global warming sorted out and get better social services and bring all faiths together, all religions together, and get everyone working together, everything will be fine. Oh, the whole world is in wickedness and darkness. That's what it is. And you see, the problem, men and women, the problem is not a physical one, it's a spiritual one. That's the problem. Bring all the religions together that they like. And they can tell people to do this, that, and the other and do their best. But the heart is, it's the heart of man is wrong. Because he's under this awful wicked force. The wicked one here that John speaks of. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." Things that are in the world. And again, the Apostle Paul speaks of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. What does he say? "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." The God of this world. And there, of course, in small letters, it's the devil he's speaking about. "And he has blinded the minds of them that believe not." Lest, do you know the devil is afraid of something today? You might think there's no fear in him, but there is. And he speaks about it. "Lest," he says, "the light of the glorious gospel should shine into their hearts." That's what the devil is afraid of. And that's what he works unceasingly to prevent people getting converted and saved and brought to faith in Christ. "Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into their hearts." He hates the gospel. He hates you and he hates me and he hates this work and every evangelical work. He's no friend. He is absolutely no friend to the work of the Lord or to the Spirit of God. They're the two forces at work today and very active. But thank God, the Lord is on the throne. And as an old preacher said on one occasion, he says, yes, the devil is defeated, and so he is. He has a kind of a reprieve, as it were, for a wee while. till his final condemnation and he's cast in to hell forever. But he's still at work. He is still at work. James reminds us there as well, and what words these are. James chapter 4 and the verse 4. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The enemy of God. Doesn't matter what kind of a face to put on. Doesn't matter what kind of a garb to put on. They can talk religious, act religious, and so on like that. And sanctimonious. Ah, but the heart is still under the sway of the enemy. They live for the world. More money. A better name. To be promoted, advanced, to be thought well of among men. To have a good name, to be popular. Friend of the world. And go along with it. And swallow anything that will advance them. But James says they are the enemy of God. The enemy of the Almighty God. Notice how the matter here is put beyond all dispute. And he confirms it here. He takes us, as it were, a step higher. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's no dispute in that. The love of the Father isn't in him. Whatever he professes, as I say, whatever show he might put on, the love of the Father is not in him. The believer, praise God, is one who is marked by obedience and love to God. Not perfect. No, not perfect. And that's why he tells us here in the chapter 1, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Christian is one who still fails. He says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is within the Christian, within the child of God, that desire for to obey the Lord, to go on with God, to please him, to glorify him. Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, even though we falter at times. But we're marked by obedience. And you see, men and women, there's only two families that exist in this world. Only two, from God's perspective. People are offended at this. People are offended at this. They say, how can it be? But there's a clear line of demarcation drawn in the Word of God. A person is either a child of God. Their sins are forgiven, regenerated, born again from above. Or they're still under the sway and the power of the enemy, the devil. Only two families. Two families. It doesn't matter whether they're orange or green, wherever they come from, whatever the color of their skin, or anything else. There are only two families in this world. And the Apostle Paul makes it very clear, doesn't he? There in Ephesians, in the chapter 2. Look how he puts it. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. Prince of the power of the air. The power that worketh. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Jews and Gentiles. And the Jews, of course, could not take this on board at all. They said to the Savior, who do you think we are? Who do you think you are? We're the children of Abraham. We be the children of Abraham. We're not like those Gentile dogs. That's how they refer to the Gentiles. The dogs, the unclean. But oh, there's only the two. God makes this divide. We've read it here in the verse 13, they know God. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him. They are victorious as well. They have overcome the wicked one. Satan no longer rules the life of the Christian. He's not in control. He tempts, he schemes, he plans. But the child of God is victorious. And they are strong as well, verse 14. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Not the thing that's missing today. Strength. Strength. We're living in an awful weak generation. Moaning and groaning about everything. Everyone is down and out and complaining and everything else. We're living in a weak generation. And I don't say that unsympathetically. I know that a child of God can come under severe pressure. But there is strength in God. There is power in God. You remember the words of a psalmist, just thinking of them the other day. The Lord is my light, he says. Light. And he went on to say this. The Lord is my strength. Young person, be strong in the Lord. There's grace. There's power sufficient. He's given to you his Holy Spirit. Be strong in the Lord. In this awful day of problems, be strong in God. Do we see the world today for what it is? Do I see it for what it is? The darkness of this world? What a mercy, what a privilege to belong to God, to be in the family of the Lord, to be a child of God. We're heirs of God, the Apostle Paul reminds us, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have on the robe of white, and we're marching, we're going to glory. Whenever our time may come, sooner or later, whatever, we're going to be with him forever and forever. Oh, let us be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, claiming every morning that anointing of the Spirit, the double portion of the Spirit of God to rest upon us. If you're not saved today, as we close the meeting, come to him. Call upon him for mercy. The Lord will meet with you. He will save you and make you his child and set you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Don't delay. There's mercy. This is a great salvation. God has provided this for us in Christ Jesus. Let us bow now in a word of prayer. Oh, blessed Father, we give thee thanks today for what is ours in Christ. You hath he quickened who were dead, trespasses and in sins. We thank thee, Father. Part us with your blessing today. Uphold us, keep us. We ask of thee. May we go from strength to strength. Save any who are not saved. May they not for a moment hesitate, but come to Christ and pray and ask him to save them, and he will. Grant everyone now, Lord, a safe journey home. In Jesus' name, amen.